You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Advanced wiper malware hits Ukraine. Nemesis gets dismantled. Apple deals with an unpatchable vulnerability. PortaGuard rises to the rescue. CISA and FBI join forces against DDoS attacks. U.S. Airlines data security and privacy policies are under review. Hackers hit thousands in Jacksonville Beach. Jeffrey Batson, CEO of Zage Security, sits down with me to discuss CISA's 2024 JCDC priorities. And hotel keycard locks can't be that hard to crack. Today is March 22nd, 2024. I'm Maria Varmazis, host of N2K's T-Minus Space Daily, sitting in for Dave Fittner today. And this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Researchers at SentinelOne have discovered a new version of Acid Rain, a wiper malware that was used against modems across Ukraine at the beginning of the Russian invasion in February 2022. The researchers have dubbed the new variant Acid Pour, clever, noting that it expands upon Acid Rain's capabilities and destructive potential to now include Linux unsorted block image and device mapper logic, better targeting RAID arrays and large storage devices. SentinelOne adds that the discovery of Acid Pour coincides with the disruptions of four Ukrainian internet providers that began on March 13th. SentinelOne commented that they cannot confirm Acid Pour was used to disrupt the Ukrainian ISPs. They added this, though: the longevity of the disruption suggests a more complex attack than a simple DDoS or nuisance disruption. Acid Pour, uploaded 3 days after this disruption started, would fit the bill for the requisite toolkit. If that's the case, it could serve as another link between this hacktivist persona and specific GRU operations. Following up on our reporting on China from yesterday exploiting vulnerabilities in F5 Screen Connect, Chinese cyber attackers have launched global campaigns. Mandiant published a report on UNC5174, a suspected Chinese threat actor that appears to work as an initial access broker for China's Ministry of State Security, or MSS. Back in October 2023, the threat actor exploited a remote command execution vulnerability, CVE-2023-46747, affecting F5 Big IP traffic management user interface. Mandiant notes this: China Nexus actors continue to conduct vulnerability research on widely deployed edge appliances like F5 Big IP and Screen Connect to enable espionage operations at scale. These operations often include rapid exploitation of recently disclosed vulnerabilities using custom or publicly available proof-of-concept exploits. UNC5174 and UNC302 operate within this model, and their operations provide insight into the initial access broker ecosystem, leveraged by the MSS to target strategically interesting global organizations. Mandiant believes that UNC 5174 will continue to pose a threat to organizations in the academic, NGO, and government sectors, specifically in the United States, Canada, Southeast Asia, Hong Kong, and the United Kingdom. Moving on to the next one, in a significant win against cybercrime, German authorities dismantle the Nemesis Marketplace, a hub for illegal activities like selling stolen data and malware. German police seized the server infrastructure along with 94,000 euros worth of cryptocurrency, according to the record. I'm going to mess this pronunciation up, but the Bundeskriminalamt, BKA, said in a press release, "The measures carried out in a concerted action on March 20, 2024, were preceded by extensive investigations that have been conducted by the BKA, the ZIT, as well as the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the IRS-CI since October 2022. Hackers have discovered a vulnerability in Apple's Mac chips, enabling them to extract secret encryption keys. And the flaw can't be patched directly because it stems from the design of the silicon itself. It can only be mitigated by building defenses into third-party cryptographic software, but that could degrade M-series performance. Researchers have named the attack GoFetch. It uses an application that doesn't require root access, only the same user privileges needed by most third-party applications installed on macOS. Mitigating the effects of the vulnerability falls on the people developing code for Apple hardware. Apple failed to comment on the GoFetch research. Concerned users should check for GoFetch mitigation updates that become available for macOS software. A critical remote code execution flaw in Fortinet VPN appliances has been identified, posing a severe risk to organizations. Attackers can exploit this vulnerability to compromise network security. This vulnerability was found to be exploited by threat actors in the wild. However, FortiGuard has acted swiftly upon this vulnerability and has released patches to fix it. The CISA and FBI have released a comprehensive guide to combat distributed denial of service or DDoS attacks. While they have been around for what seems like forever, DDoS attacks are still common tactics used by cybercriminals to disrupt services. The guide provides invaluable insights and strategies to defend against DDoS attacks, emphasizing proactive mitigation measures. Bottom line, educate your teams, implement robust DDoS protection solutions, and collaborate with law enforcement to strengthen cyber resilience. The U.S. Department of Transportation intends to review data security and privacy policies of U.S. airlines, reflecting growing concerns about privacy and data monetization in the aviation sector. This move underscores the need for stringent cybersecurity measures to protect passenger information and ensure air travel safety. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, who previously warned about the threat posed by data brokers, will work in concert with the Department of Transportation to carry out the investigation. Stay tuned for that one. And Jacksonville Beach is one of the latest U.S. municipalities to have fallen victim to cyber attacks. It underscores a national issue here. These attacks on local governments disrupt services, compromise sensitive data, and highlight the need for improved cybersecurity measures at all levels of government. That's it for our briefing today. Coming up next, we are talking with Zage Security's CEO, Jeffrey Mattson. In a crossover from our T-Minus Space Daily, which I host, by the way, we spoke with Jeff about CISA's 2024 JCDC priorities. Shameless plug, you can find a link for T-Minus in today's show notes.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
I sat down with Jeff Mattson, CEO of Zage Security, to discuss CISA's 2024 JCDC priorities.
I think the awareness on the commercial side of the importance of cybersecurity in space is growing, but I think it's something that we need to reemphasize with that community. So the importance of both military and commercial satellite technology from a strategic perspective is that, you know, one of our stated strategies with Space Force, which is, as you know, entrusted with protecting the satellite system in the U.S. and for our partners, is to be able to leverage the commercial satellite system, in particular the proliferation of low orbit satellites, to create a much larger potential attack surface for, you know, our near peer competitors who would like to impact our ability to operate our satellite system. So rather than having a few very high orbit military satellites provide all of our command and control, for instance, we'd like to be able to leverage the proliferation of commercial satellites, low orbit, to be able to provide redundant functions for command and control. And, you know, it's much harder to take out 4,000 commercial satellites that are buzzing all over the stratosphere than it is to take out 4 or 5 high orbit military ones. So it's very important that our commercial partners understand the strategic importance of cybersecurity in their systems, because by extension, our near peer competitors will use cyber attacks against them, as well as the military satellites, in order to go after the soft underbelly of our strategic operations, which is, you know, we've grown extremely dependent as a military force on satellites and satellite communication. We've had superiority there for a long time, and we've had very low vulnerability for a long time, but that's changed with the potential for kinetic attacks. But also we've seen, you know, in the real world, cyber attacks, such as Viasat 2022 was used in an actual combat situation to prevent command and control in real time. And we'll see more of those types of attacks in the future. So we are, you know, very eager to work with Space Force and with the extended satellite community to be able to harden our satellite systems and prevent a cyber attack. The good news is that the technologies that are available to protect these systems, they really have matured recently. And, you know, it is possible to deploy them very quickly and at a relatively low cost. And they are very, very resilient to cyber attacks.
Secure by design is a principle that is said a lot in cybersecurity. It makes a lot of sense. When we talk about space assets, though, especially when we have assets that are quite old in some cases, my mind just kind of goes, how is that going to work?
Excellent question, Maria, because secure by design is becoming the major focus in cybersecurity, as you're probably aware. And what we've seen is we have security devices and security appliances that are being targeted and exploited by malicious actors as a way to hack into enterprises and into the military. So for instance, right now, last year you saw Citrix bleed, you know, was an attack on a VDI solution from Citrix. But even recently, CISA has put out a directive to it's very alarming with regard to Avanti VPN servers, which are very, very popular VPN server in Fortune 500 companies. It says that basically certain vulnerabilities within them have caused them to be susceptible to attacks that are undetectable and very persistent. And so their customers are strongly advised to consider whether they want to go forward with them in the future. And the reason for this is, you know, looking at the code base in some of these appliances, like not to pile on Avanti, but you know, they're a pretty good example, is some of the code, if you look at the executables running, they're over 20 years old, right? So they've accumulated, in many cases, these appliances have millions and millions of lines of software. And a lot of it has been accumulated over time. And it's really just impossible to do that type of development without creating vulnerabilities in the process. And so a lot of these devices are insecure by design. In the past, it wasn't as much of a problem because hackers were going after things like going after vulnerabilities in your PC, right? Or in your web browser. And we've put up pretty good defenses against those. And so now they've found that these security devices and access devices are soft targets and really easy to exploit. So they're going after them. So anything we deploy in space to defend space has to have a very long life, has to be extremely secure. And has to be built with secure software design principles in the design process, and then hardening through vulnerability testing. And then it has to have sort of architecturally have built-in security. So for instance, a lot of these security devices like ours, they are entrusted to store the keys of certain applications or certain assets they're talking to. And some of these systems have centralized key stores, which is huge. Huge problem, because if you're able to compromise one system, you have access, you have the keys to the kingdom, essentially. So for instance, what we do is we have a polynomial-based algorithm that allows us to shard the keys over a certain number of distributed systems so that you would have to, you know, compromise every one of them. And that way we consider ourselves to be even quantum-proof in terms of decryption. So a lot goes into creating this type of modern stack, but then you talk about the assets that we're protecting, and the fact that they can't really be patched, and the fact that they were developed over a longer period of time, and some of them are legacy. You know, and bear in mind that when you're protecting the satellites, you're protecting really three things. One is the network itself that the satellite is a part of. So that's the terrestrial network, the modems, and Viasat, the modems were attacked, and the satellite links. And then we're also protecting the assets, the satellite assets, any type of industrial or military equipment that's part of that network. And then finally, we're also protecting the data streams. So the data that's streaming off of the satellite is extremely valuable and extremely sensitive. We have to make sure that it's available to our partners. We have to make sure it's not tampered with. We have to make sure that it is not available to parties that we don't want it to be available to. And we have to do this in real time, essentially. So it's kind of a tall order. However, the way our system works and the way a modern zero trust overlay works is the principle of zero trust is an evolution in the concept of protection in cybersecurity. Protection used to be things like firewalls and certain types of VPNs or jump hosts. Protection used to be, let's sort of put some roadblocks in the way that would keep attackers out. The principle of zero trust is saying, look, we're mature enough now that what we should do is, if you need to access something, we'll make sure you are exactly who you say you are. We'll give you access to only that thing, well, only for the period of time you're supposed to have it. And if it's something very sensitive, we'll also limit what you can do and we'll record what you can do. And so that's the principle of zero trust. Now, the way we can bring that to these legacy assets is ZH has a fabric overlay. So basically, it's like a virtual network that we can put right in front of any of these assets, completely surrounding and protecting them. And it sort of acts as a proxy in front of those assets that can provide that type of modern security access. It can control what's going into the asset, and it can control what's going out of the asset. So controlling what goes in will make sure that nobody can take over the asset or tamper with the data on the asset. Controlling what goes out means that if the asset goes rogue for any reason or is compromised, that compromise will be contained and the spread will be limited, right? So we're able to, by using this modern software approach, we can plop ourselves in front of anything and provide that type of zero trust architecture. And when I say plopping in front of an overlay, that's also very important for this strategy of leveraging commercial satellites. You know, we're going to have to work with a proliferation of partners, and we have to have a solution that is very easy to deploy and can be managed across the satellite system from a single control center without operationally burdening these satellite partners. So this basic simplicity of this solution is one of the reasons I think that Space Force was so attracted to it, given that we have to extend it into the commercial satellite realm as well.
A topic that gets discussed in the space world sometimes is possible designation by the U.S. federal government of space as critical infrastructure. People kind of aren't sure in the space world sometimes about whether or not that would actually be helpful or a hindrance if space was called that. I'm just curious what your take is on that. Like, is space critical infrastructure, does it help calling space critical infrastructure to sort of move the needle on the cyber side?
That's a really interesting point, Rhea. I think space is probably the most critical infrastructure if you consider its strategic importance. That, you know, as I said, our military has become dependent on having superiority in space for command and control. And it is an enormous advantage for us. And even if we strategically decided to move away from that, that would be a long evolution, a long transition. So it is extremely critical, I would say. Also, you know, even regardless of the military applications, if someone for some malicious purpose were to take out GPS system, for instance, that would impact world economy in a very serious way, right? So, you know, I think as I reiterate that, I think it's the most critical of systems.
Absolutely. I think that enough said on that one. So it's not often I get to talk to somebody on the cyber side about the sort of the space cyber landscape, and you have a great perspective on it. I would just love to know your take on sort of the current landscape for space cyber, your impressions of it, like how it's evolving, how it's changed, what you hope to see more of, that kind of thing.
You've seen a lot of news recently about, you know, both potential cyber attacks and potential kinetic attacks on our satellite infrastructure. And I think that, you know, the public is becoming much more aware of the importance of our space infrastructure from a critical infrastructure point of view. And I think they're becoming more aware of the potential for cyber attacks on it. And you know, these cyber attacks are likely to come from the best hackers in the world, you know, nation state level, near peer competitors to the US, and they're likely to happen with the most malicious intent. So I'm very pleased to see that there's a broadening awareness of this critically important issue. And I think I'm very impressed actually with the speed with which the federal government has been moving to create partnerships in this area, commercial military partnerships that we're a part of, and to be able to address this vulnerability very quickly.
That's Jeff Mattson, CEO of Zage Security.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
Wired reporter and friend of the show, Andy Greenberg, shared the disturbing story of how hackers discovered a way to open hotel rooms that are equipped with key cards. And that would mean pretty much all of the hotel rooms these days. And not only that, they do it in a matter of just seconds. The SafeLock hotel lock, which just happens to be used in thousands upon thousands of hotels worldwide, faces a serious security flaw that was discovered when hackers were invited to hack a Vegas hotel room at Hacker Summer Camp, aka DEF CON, in 2022. The vulnerability known as UnSafeLock, enables unauthorized access to hotel rooms, underscoring the importance of robust cybersecurity in the hospitality industry to protect guest safety and privacy. The company behind the SafeLock brand, DoorLocks, is offering a fix, but it may take months or years to reach some hotels, and that's being optimistic. Yeah, better use that deadbolt, everybody. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. Be sure to check out our newest episode of Research Saturday tomorrow, where Dave Bittner sits down with Liv U. Arsene from CrowdStrike, and they're discussing research titled Hijack Loader Expands Techniques to Improve Defense Evasion. Check it out. And as always, we'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. Your feedback helps us ensure that we're delivering the information and insights that help keep you a step ahead in the rapidly changing world of cybersecurity. We're privileged that N2K and podcasts like The CyberWire are part of the daily intelligence routine of many of the most influential leaders and operators in the public and private sector, as well as the critical security teams supporting the Fortune 500 and many of the world's preeminent intelligence and law enforcement agencies. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jen Ivan and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpe. And I'm not Dave Bittner, I'm Maria Varmazes. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend.